Welcome to Axis Astrology. My name is Alison Price and I'm here with my good friend Arwen O'Neill, and we're coming to you from Vancouver, Canada. This episode is from December the 14th to the 27th, 2014. And we're going to be talking about the transits and ingresses. We're going to be discussing the moon phases. And our Astrology 360 topic this time will be Saturn.
Mm-hmm. Big subject.
Big subject, yes.
So, yeah.
So what transits have we got going then?
Well, we have a bit more activity going on this time than we did last.
Yes.
We've got, starting on the 14th, jumping right in, we've got the 6th out of 7th exact square between Uranus and Pluto, which is part of this ongoing thing that's been happening since 2012. And the last one is in March of 2015. But this is the 6th aspect that's been stirring up all sorts of unrest and political upheaval and...
Tension.
Tension, definitely lots and lots of tension.
Right.
Yeah, so that'll be exact on the 14th.
Okay, and so it's a challenging day.
Yeah, and it's not like it has been, you know, just super smooth sailing really up until now. So we have that to look forward to. We have probably a ramping up and then, okay. I wouldn't expect any fireworks precisely on that day necessarily.
Right.
But I wouldn't expect it to calm down until significantly after December either. So on the 16th, then we have Mercury moving into Capricorn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this is now the second planet, all moving into Capricorn. We're coming to the end of the year.
Yeah. It'll be joining Venus, which is already in there.
Uh-huh.
And then on the 20th, we have Venus squaring Uranus and conjuncting Pluto.
Okay.
So that will be a trigger, as we say, for that square, and Venus will be jumping into the mix.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the 20th of December. So that's bringing in the shopping. That's got to be the shopping day. It's going to be the day.
Yeah, really. If you shop, you might want to shop solo, not with the partner. You might just have some knockdown, drag-out battle in IKEA or wherever.
If you can park in the car park to start
with. Oh, might be battles in the parking lot or parking spots. That could be ugly. So on the 21st, we have the sun moving into Capricorn.
Yes. So that's the winter solstice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the 23rd, we have Saturn moving into Sagittarius.
Huge news.
Yeah. So this will be the first time that Saturn's been in fire in ever so long.
Yes.
Yep. And it'll be there for a good 2.5 years, minus a little bit of a retrograde period next year.
Yes, but a give and take.
Yeah. And then on the 24th, we have Christmas Eve, but also Mercury will be triggering the Uranus-Pluto square. So that'll be squaring Uranus and conjuncting Pluto, just like
that's
Venus.
That's going to cause some tension in there.
Oh, it? Yeah. The tension at the dinner table and Christmas. Oh, yeah.
You're immediately imagining those family movies where they've got this, they all come together and they start arguing about what Uncle Joe did in the war, and the haggles go on and on.
Yeah.
And that will probably be the case then this year on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, definitely.
That makes Christmas Eve a quite a tense time on the 24th, and also that one where it's on with Venus on the 20th.
Yeah.
So
not a lot of smooth, happy family or even couple dynamics going on in the next couple of weeks. Mm. But it's the holidays.
So get the drinks in early.
Yeah, there are a lot of good things that'll support good holiday parties, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah. Good opportunities to dress up and impress the bosses. If you go to the office parties, good opportunities to shop for something of higher value presents, maybe, or
true,
I don't know,
true.
Something like that with the Venus going on.
Good.
Yeah, make sure to keep your receipts and whatnot, though.
For Boxing Day returns.
wait a week.
We'll see.
Fine, yeah. What is the moon up to?
Okay, so as we say, the moon is always moving. And in this period that we're looking at, on the 14th of December, we've got the last quarter moon. So that's the light is then fading, okay. And on the 21st, which is actually critically, astrologically as well, that is the solstice too. We've got a new moon.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the sun goes into Capricorn, when it's still in the 0 degree, we've got the new moon actually on the solstice. So that's making it quite a potent one as well for that Capricorn ingress. So that chart's quite interesting. New moon in Capricorn. So anytime it's going to be interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of new beginnings will be put forward at that time. So if you are someone who wants to start a project, start a business, or offer a proposal to somebody, the 21st is going to be a good day to say, I'm going to do this, and then you get to start it in the new year.
Yeah, especially to do with business.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So if you want to, you've been humming and hawing about things, it's going to be a good time, because that's what Capricorn's about.
Yeah, and that's good too. You get it out of the way during the like, so you can relax for the holidays once you've done your big presentation or your big pitch or what have you. Mm.
And in a way, also, I would suggest if you do get the chance to take a break after the 21st, the 22nd to January 1st would be a good time to do that, to actually do or have a slowdown.
Oh, yeah.
Like anyone else couldn't have guessed that. But the point is, astrologically, it's a good time to do that before you start ramping up.
Yeah.
So do you have any ideas to launch new...
Oh, gosh.
I know. I get sometimes... This is what, the New Year's resolution stuff? Oh. You get to the point and you think the New Year's coming. You think, well, I need to do this, and that, or...
Yeah. I don't know. I like to let things come to me that way.
I think that will be...
Like the podcast. It's sort of...
Evolved.
Exactly. It just sort of... It occurred almost out of... Well, it occurred because our producer, Roger, was...
Tell the story, Owen.
It was badgering me to go and just tell us about a podcast. Because I was whining about how there aren't enough astrology podcasts. And I still believe that there aren't enough. But we, I think, have contributed a great...
So that's
great entry
began,
in that.
Right?
Just the thought that you... Just, hey, why don't you go do your own podcast? Yeah, well, and here we can never do that. And then,
Not that it... Yeah, so it was something that you wouldn't have done separately, and I certainly wouldn't
have. Yeah, it wasn't something where I had a business plan, and I wanted, I'm enterprising. No, not at all. I have to be talked into these things, and then I'm usually quite happy.
great.
Yeah. So that brings us up to our Astrology 360 topic, which is Saturn.
Saturn.
The big, giant planet with the rings. More beautiful than we really ever thought it would be.
Fabulous.
Amazing.
Did you see those photos recently where they were taking pictures on the other side of Saturn, looking at Earth, and there was an arrow saying, there's Earth, and it's just a dot.
Yeah.
But it was through the rings because the cameras are
dark,
so much better.
It's amazing.
Amazing
Stunning.
Stuff. It really
Stunning.
Is.
Yeah.
So.
Saturn.
What do we think about Saturn?
Well, so... I've got a couple of mythological and sort of little notes about... Basically, Saturn gets its name from the Roman god of agriculture. So that's where the scythe sickle thing comes from. It's not just to lop,
right?
Heads and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's for, grain
okay.
or what have you. And it was analogous to Kronos in Greece, which was the time god. Time. Yeah, and also Kronos with a CH is the word for time. Ancient Greek. So
well, even that, even today, these higher end watch manufacturers don't sell watches; they sell chronometers.
Right, chronometers, exactly. Kronos chronometers, exactly. Yeah.
Where you want to measure your chrons?
Yes. Oh my goodness. So that's it's a bit of a confusing sort of because of the Greek and Roman thing.
Okay.
It's a bit of a sort of pastiche of a couple of different gods, but basically he was the timekeeper. And in astronomy, obviously, Saturn is a gas giant. It's obviously not as big as Jupiter, but it has fantastic rings that are gravitationally captured rocks, debris, and dust, and icy rocks, basically. And those have accumulated, of course, over millions of years, and they're just gravitationally captured. So they're basically like moons, but teeny tiny fragments.
Yes, I've read some of the like as big as snowballs.
Yeah, just in a complete... Spinning
Random.
Around and around and around, which is really interesting if you think about it.
It is.
And it also has Aurora Borealis, a Borealis.
Does it?
Yes. It's a great animated GIF out there somewhere. Just Google, Saturn Aurora, and you'll find some fascinating little GIF that NASA has put out there. And who knew? Hmm. Nobody knew.
And it's got satellites, right? Titan.
Yeah. Like a lot. There's actually kind of some question about how many.
Oh, there's just that many, right?
Yeah, yeah. I believe either that or it's Jupiter that you can't really, that we're not sure. There are lots of moons. Both of them have tons. Just tons. So astrologically, though, more importantly, for our purposes
more importantly,
here,
let's get to the meat.
Planet Schmanet. So Saturn is associated with limitation, restrictions, and fears. It is basically your biggest area of insecurity or your sort of stumbling block, your Achilles heel as a person. The things that you have to mature into and internalize the lessons of before you can grow into with hardship and toil, and you can become very good at these things, but it's not something that you are just, oh, I'm good at this naturally because I've got Saturn in whatever. No, it's I've got Saturn in whatever, so, oh, you know, oh, that's...
Yes, it does have a reputation, yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah. So that's... I've basically put together a list, which we can go into after.
Okay.
After you tell us what you think of Saturn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, as a planet, it's got everything going for it, right? So Saturn rules the sign of Capricorn. Let's get out of that there. And traditionally also rules Aquarius. So it's the two signs that are opposite the warmest signs of Cancer and Leo, Capricorn and Aquarius. That's why in the Northern Hemisphere, where astrology evolved, it was given winter to look after. And clearly the sun enters Capricorn in the winter.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the coldest time. And even the plants that are ruled by Saturn, like the holly and the ivy, only come out in winter. Saturn is definitely about your restrictions, and it's your self-restrictions where you say, "Never, I could never do that.
Yeah.
I could never play the violin. I could never do this." And you put restrictions on yourself that hold you back because of your fear that you could never play the violin or stand up there, what would people think? Or, and we have this dialogue going on where you can actually hold yourself back, not just be held back by other people who may be on the glass ceiling or something in that kind of way.
And it's not about what you're skilled at either. It's not, oh, I, you know, I could never be a singer because I'm tone deaf. It's usually things that you should become good at. It's usually something that you actually need to work on.
Yes.
Not because, oh, well, I'm just, that's not my area. Usually Saturn is something that should be mastered. Mm. You should actually put forth an effort. And if you don't, there will be these milestones where you kind of get knocked back by fate or by life if you're not on the right path. Or so seemingly. Yeah, exactly. And it could be sort of more of a self-sabotage or what have you. But basically that's what the Saturn returns are all about, is kind of these milestones where you see if you're kind of on the right path and kind of learning the lessons you should be or not. And if
so,
it's
tell us
traumatic,
about Saturn return that you brought up now.
Well, Saturn return is probably second to Mercury retrograde. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the most known of all the astrological phrases out there.
Yes.
And people might not know what it is, but they know they've heard it. And basically what it is every 29-ish years, 29.5, Saturn comes back to the place where it was in your birth chart. Mm-hmm. So if you have Saturn at, for example, 2 degrees Cancer, it will return 29-ish years later to that exact spot.
Yeah.
And a few times, obviously, because of retrogrades. But that that will generally be a point of sort of reassessment of maybe crisis.
It's a certain time of maturity at that stage. Yeah. I always believe when you get to that first Saturn return that you actually have to take responsibility for your own mess in your life and stop blaming your parents for why your life's a mess, as it were.
Right.
And you kind of have to get over it.
Yeah. So, and in the modern, I mean, 29 years old, a lot of people have been married at that by that time.
Yes.
Or these days, less so, but traditionally. And a lot of people will, you know, either have a separation or they'll go through sort of a crisis in their marriage right around that age.
Yes.
Or a crisis in their career where they realize they're doing something they don't like and they need to completely switch gears.
Absolutely.
Or they've just gotten through, you know, higher education and they need to suddenly put it all to use and be you're going to be a doctor now. You're not just a student. And
the mommy's not going to pay for you anymore.
Yeah.
That happens, right?
Yeah. And then all the bills come due for the education. But so 29-ish years, that happens. And then another cycle of Saturn, 58 years approximately. And that, again, coincides a lot of the time with either a divorce or with a second marriage a lot of the time, or with changing careers or going back into the workforce after being away for a long time. Or sometimes, if you're lucky,
who retires these days? I don't know. But
no. But yeah.
In theory.
And then 87 is the next and often
last. Yes, that's your third Saturn return. So you only ever get three.
Yeah. Unless, you know, when I don't know. Yeah. One or two people.
Good question.
Maybe
some of those people in Japan who live to be 120 will definitely have four Saturn returns.
There have been a couple, yeah, but usually just the three. And 87, obviously, that will be about completion and contemplation, assessing your life, and you know, coming to sort of an acceptance of mortality on a spiritual or intellectual level. Mm-hmm. A lot of time that will, you know, coincide with a lot of losses, I'm sure, with everything, sad things and whatnot.
So is there a good side?
There is a good side.
There
and that is the mastery.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Being able to say, I can do that.
Yeah. And I've worked to to be able to accomplish.
Things you achieve in life, right? When you finally get your high school diploma, when you finally get out of college, or you finally get whatever it is you're going for.
Yeah. Or even in the relationship realm. If you are in a relationship that is just not working and you just struggled and finally at the age of 29 or 58 you say, I've had it. Kids are out of the, you know, they're at school now and I'm leaving. And I've seen this happen. It happens.
It does.
Yeah. And often suddenly. But that frequently coincides with those Saturn returns when someone all seemingly out of the blue will just change something major in their life. And,
not all Saturn returns are maybe equal, because it could just do a one-hit pass or it can do three.
Yeah.
Now, often it does three, but not always. And that will show whether or not your Saturn return is going to be harder than the next person.
Yeah. And generally, would you say the first pass of the Saturn return is always the hardest?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where a lot of the things that go back and forth, you can say, oh, well, maybe the fifth one will be the worst. But no, it's with Saturn returns, it's generally the first pass. Easier and easier. And if by the third pass,
you learn this lesson.
Yeah. A lot of the time that does, you know, by the third one, you go, okay, well, wow. And you look back and you think, geez, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, it was in a completely different universe.
That's right.
And look where I'm now.
That's right. That's so if you're age 29, 58 or 87, and then you're going to be getting a Saturn return in, let's talk 2015 at this stage, right?
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So Saturn is shifting, and this is the big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's shifting into Sagittarius now. It's going into Sagittarius on the 21st of December.
I thought it was the 24th, whatever.
Ish.
Give or take, it'll be in there before Christmas.
It'll be in there for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a long time.
It is. So if you have Saturn in Sagittarius in your chart, you're going to be getting a Saturn return in the next 2 years.
Yes.
So clearly you don't.
No.
Clearly I don't either. In fact, I would have to struggle to find anyone who's that age, but I do have a daughter who's going to have it. So, you know, those with Saturn in Sagittarius will get a Saturn return in the next couple of years and get down to their astrologers to get some kind of sorted out, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So my little list of, I basically called it the worst fears list. So for Aries.
What's the worst that could happen?
Enslavement. And I'm using the most harsh word I can for each of these.
Repeat the word?
Enslavement. So losing their ability to govern their own life, to be sort of suppress and not have autonomy.
Okay.
So to lose their autonomy, to lose their mobility, their ability to direct their own course of action and their livelihood.
So, this is the Saturn in Aries people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
Saturn in Aries, worst fear, enslaved.
Not
losing
not
their
Aries
freedom.
Sun, okay.
Yeah. And a couple people that have that, George Washington.
Yes.
Tina Turner. Saddam Hussein. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. And Albert Einstein.
Really?
Yeah. So just a handful of little, you know, a couple names. Taurus, worst fear, deprivation. So
no food
to be
on the table.
Destitute, starving, to be...
Not enough land.
Yeah, the fear that's... Like the Great Depression, the fear of the fields are barren.
Like wanting.
Want, yeah. L. Ron Hubbard, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Of course, the greatest fear is fear itself, but... Mother Teresa.
Uh-huh.
And Vincent Van Gogh.
Okay.
Yeah. So which is interesting. I mean, Mother Teresa, talk about mastering your Saturn. Mm-hmm. She goes out and feeds the hungry.
With nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's... And Gemini, worst fear, isolation. And I'm thinking of this in terms of sensory deprivation.
Okay.
Isolation, like being in solitary confinement.
Like the internet broke down and...
And you're in a room in the dark and no one's talking to you. And you're cut off from all of the sensory inputs and information and contact and communication.
One.
Yeah. So Eleanor Roosevelt, Oscar Wilde, Orson Welles, and Janis Joplin.
Okay. Yeah. Which sign is your Saturn in?
It's Cancer.
Okay, so we're getting there.
We are there. Cancer, worst fear.
So what is the worst fear for Saturn in Cancer people?
Homelessness.
Really?
Expulsion, yes. Eviction.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not having a shell to crawl into. And yes, first Saturn return, evicted.
I wasn't going to say a word.
Oh, yeah, no, I will admit that freely. It was horrible.
Oh, good heavens.
But within the time that Saturn was in Cancer, I turned everything around and was, you know, working.
And would you say that because of that experience that you've actually now put things in place that to ensure it will not happen again?
Well, to the degree that anyone can ever say that won't happen again.
Rather than just blithely going along.
Oh, yeah. And there was really nothing blithe about it, but I think it was definitely irresponsible.
Really?
You know, in a way. Mm-hmm. Not rashly irresponsible, but just not obviously, not being as paranoid about things as one should be, I guess, and not realizing that things can fall apart pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Falling apart pretty quickly is another cancer, Saturn cancer fear.
Fear of homelessness, that's interesting.
Fear of homelessness, yeah.
And yes, I know you go out and attend to the homeless's needs and things.
Yeah, I do.
Is it there but for the grace of God go I? Is that what it is?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't turn off the compassion spigot. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know. So, who else has had that? Napoleon. Interesting, if you think about his history.
He lost the country, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. And then he was exiled and had to live on a barren little island that still doesn't even have an airport.
Do you feel in exile?
Now? Yeah. No. No, I feel like I live in paradise a little bit. Vancouver's
no, I mean,
to complain
of course
about.
You are Canadian. Yeah, because yeah. You lived there for so long. Did you feel in exile in America?
No.
Okay.
No. Although, I mean, you know,
you
crossing the border between the two, you can get pretty paranoid and start to feel like,
I know.
Where do I belong? God damn it. Yeah. But I think that's a little more of a... Fear of bureaucracy probably crosses a lot of signs.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said. We must do an offer.
My goodness.
That's been an experience as well. Anyhow. Yeah.
Yes, and who else? George W. Bush, interestingly.
Okay.
Homeland and all that. Mary Shelley and Liza Minnelli.
I'm sorry, the last one?
Oh, Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli.
Yes, Cabaret.
Okay.
Yeah. So Leo. Leo, worst fear? Irrelevance. What say you?
I don't have Saturn in Leo.
Oh, yeah. That's right. A lot of things in Leo, but that's not the one.
That's the one.
Oh, I know what you have Saturn in. Okay, never mind. We'll get there. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
You're like, I don't know what the... Yeah.
Saturn, irrelevance.
Irrelevance, yes. And so, Beethoven.
Okay.
And I'm pausing because I think that that's a really interesting, significant one. Although deaf at the end of his career, at the end of his life, he refused to admit that his career could even possibly be over. And he continued and then produced the best work, arguably.
Okay.
But really.
And we're still listening to it today.
We are, yeah. At the end of Die Hard, one of my favorite movies. Anyway, Bill and Hillary Clinton both, interestingly.
Okay, because it is generational, yes.
Yeah. And Stephen King.
I like him.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah, he's great.
Okay.
So there. Virgo, Saturn and Virgo, worst fear, chaos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And who do we have? We have Jane Addams, the city planner and social commentator who argued for livable cities, neighborhoods that were not...
ghettos.
Yeah, not cut up with all sorts of freeways and mm-hmm, whatever, but mm-hmm. Having nice walkable cities.
Okay.
And Vancouver, I think, is, it's a great homage to Jane Addams' legacy. Mm-hmm. So that is one. Agatha Christie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Gene Roddenberry, who envisioned, of course, the utopia of organization and pristine...
the
perfect,
prime directive. He was still trying to tell you what to do when they start with directives.
Oh, yeah.
She says, waggling her finger.
Everyone will just obey the rules and everything will be ideal and perfect.
Resistance
and everyone
is
will
futile.
Be happy. That too. The dark side of the fear of chaos can be dictatorial. That.
You will be assimilated.
And William Randolph Hearst.
Okay.
A whole other thing. Libra, being unlovable. And that's probably not the best wording I could use, but just not... Yeah, being ostracized and expelled from the social, not being accepted or loved.
Good one.
Jane Austen, Helen Gurley Brown, the founder of Cosmopolitan magazine, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, and John Gray, the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Okay.
Interestingly. So that is Libra.
So he spoke about love in his book, you see.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And the importance of making relationships work, because it's... most important thing. Yeah.
It is for Libra, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Saturn in Scorpio.
Yes.
Extinction. Annihilation. Not just death, but annihilation. The fear of nothingness, of it all
really
coming to naught and it having been for nothing. Marlon Brando, Fidel Castro, Amelia Earhart, and Marilyn Monroe. And many others. This is quite a minefield of interesting factoids and whatnot. We can go on and on. But Sagittarius?
Yes.
Oh, unless you'd like to comment?
No, I'm saying, we're talking Sagittarius now. Saturn goes into Sagittarius.
Yes, and this will be interesting to observe, actually.
Yes.
Worst fear, I believe, stagnation.
Ah.
And this could be in physical, you know, to not be moving constantly, or mental stagnation. to cease learning, to cease developing, to cease growing as a person, to just stand still and grow in any way. And my examples there are Fred Astaire, Charles Darwin, Madonna, Martin Luther King, and Che Guevara.
Huh.
Yeah. It's an interesting dinner party there.
It is.
I would like to be a fly on the wall for that. I'm not sure if I'd want to be in the room, but
we'd have the podcast afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. I would totally listen to that podcast.
Oh, that's it. Dinner time podcast. There's a thought.
Yeah, yeah. Capricorn.
Yay!
Go Saturn and Capricorn. Okay. Worst fear, helplessness.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neil Armstrong, George Clooney, Walt Disney, Sylvia Plath, Maria Antoinette.
Oh, helplessness.
Helplessness. Yeah.
Being maybe.
Beholden to others. Not having
Yes.
Not absolutely. Having your own initiative.
Having to
not
rely having... on other people.
Yes.
No, don't like that.
Yeah.
No.
I was going to say paralysis, but I think that helplessness is even better of a word for that.
Yeah, having to ask someone to... No.
Yeah. Mm. Even I hate that. Get me a glass of... No.
Yeah, you know, it's like sometimes my kids say to me, when I get older, I'll go and live with them. I thought, no, I won't.
Oh, yeah.
What do you say to me, you know? What you're doing and what you're wearing, where you're going. No!
Right.
No. Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you meant, but...
I totally meant that. Yeah, definitely. Saturn and Aquarius. Worst fear, regression.
Ah.
By which I mean the opposite of evolution. As a society, as a species, as a person, regressing, moving backwards in your mental faculties or in your civilized behavior or...
Anarchy.
Yeah, the human race backsliding into barbarism. Yeah. Winston Churchill, Salvador Dali, Nietzsche, Gloria Steinem, and Joan Rivers.
Okay.
Yeah. And Pisces, Saturn and Pisces, meaninglessness in the end. This is after the Scorpio fear.
What was the point?
Yes, exactly. Jean-Paul Sartre, Ken Kesey, Kurt Cobain, the Dalai Lama, and Frida Kahlo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because where Saturn is placed shows our fears, even though we may not know what they are ourselves.
Yeah.
And even though you've got this chunk of 2.5 years of all the Saturn and Capricorns will have the same fear, it's not something that's really on the front burner all the time. But definitely,
it's not like spiders or where you know.
Yeah.
Everyone's
but... exactly. So those are people with Saturn and Arachnid. You know, there's that 13th planet. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right, that.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting, that as well. Yeah. And that also influences it, which house your Saturn
definitely.
Falls.
Yes.
Where you... it is fear. It is the word. What do you fear most in life?
Yeah. And you might not know, which is why it's really good to know where your Saturn is.
Yes.
Because that can help you to actually understand why you might be sabotaging yourself or why you might shy away from certain things.
Yes.
And then maybe kick yourself for it afterwards. Why did I say no to that offer? Why did I not take that job? Whatever. Those things often are Saturn related.
I often think too that Saturn can show where tragedies are going to occur in your life. Yeah. I know. Where you look back over your life and you think, well, which was the worst day ever? Because you can remember it.
Yeah.
And see where Saturn was then and that what aspect it was maybe making, right?
Right.
So whether it was being evicted 30 years ago, I don't know. But there would have been other
30 years ago?
20 years, okay. Last year, yeah, whenever it was.
Yeah.
Where you can remember which was the worst day of your life, where a tragedy occurred and befell you.
Yeah.
That can often show through Saturn.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's more perhaps by house as well, I think.
Yeah, and aspects as well.
Yes.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay, so...
It's interesting, though, because these things we usually say, well, there's a range of time, especially with the outer planets, that these things don't necessarily happen on the day. But occasionally, just from personal experience, the weirdest thing was the year of my Saturn return. The first pass of it was in 2003. And on this one day...
Okay, you're younger. Yeah, you're younger than I said. Yeah.
But so everyone knows how old I am. But I was walking home from a terrible appointment with... I'm not even going to say, but it was about money. It was pre the eviction, but it was leading up to that. It was to do with all of this stuff. And I hadn't found a job yet. And so I was looking for work constantly. And it was just this whole poverty, awful cycle thing. And it was not going well. This appointment that I'd had, it was terribly discouraging. It just felt like I was sort of arguing about my right to exist. It was just terrible. And I started to cry walking down the street. And next thing you know, I was fully hyperventilating and I had nowhere to go. It was awful. I've never had a panic attack in my life, not before or since. And then when I finally got home after, believe it or not, ducking into a place where I could talk to someone, which, you know, I can't even believe now that I've, that this didn't happen. I'm so not that person. But that day I was just at a loss. Absolutely. It was the worst day. And when I finally got home and had pulled myself together, I looked at the calendar, the chart, all that stuff, and it was exact that day. The first Saturn return pass was that very day, which doesn't happen for everyone, but wow, that was interesting.
And do you think there was a lesson there? Because they say Saturn teaches you lessons.
Yeah, I mean, just, yeah.
Would you say that was the biggest tragedy that's like
before you? Oh, no. No, there have been a couple of things. But it was definitely the biggest lesson. I mean, a lot of tragedies happen that there's no lesson in it. It's just shitty, you know? Yeah, there are terrible things happen and there's no what to learn, what to take away. It's just awful. And maybe it'll happen again. You know, it will happen again, but... you know, that was definitely one of those ones where you can actually learn something from it, and that was to be fortified and more self-sufficient.
Eighth. Oh.
So of course it couldn't just be eviction, it had to be like life or death sort of fear.
And would you say that you'd totally overcome the actual feeling of how it all went down there by the time Saturn had moved sign?
Yeah, I mean, by 2.5 years later I was...
You got a job, you got a place to live.
Two jobs.
You've got two jobs and you've never looked back from. Now you've got three jobs or whatever it is. Eight jobs.
It's great, yeah.
You know, you're doing what it takes to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, that's basically it. Oh.
Wow.
I'm getting the best look of sympathy. No, it's for our podcast listeners.
Oh, gosh.
No, but you know, that's the good thing about Saturn, though, is that you can actually...
You can
fortify
look back. You do come out of it.
Go,
we all go through it. We all have a Saturn return. We all are going to have another one.
Yeah.
And it's all going to...
And that's the thing, too, though. Like, if your Saturn return goes like mine did, if it's like the crisis, the world intervening and going, hey, get with the program, what are you doing?
Yes.
You can't just kick back and whatever. Then the next one... Typically, if there's any justice in the universe, which we are arguing there is, it will go easier. It will be more like a graduation than a crisis. It'll be like, oh, I've come to a new level.
Home ownership.
Or something.
And do you find moving home to be as traumatic as that? Or is that okay if you're just going house to house?
Moving is always awful. Moving is always just so stressful. And it helps that I have massive collections of books.
I always think moving is stressful, but that's just me.
It's horrible. It's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You love your stuff, but you end up hating your stuff.
So
at the same
trouble,
time.
Right?
Yeah. And you just feel like... You're making other people help carry your stuff from one place to another, and it's just so, ugh, and everything's dusty and yuck.
And I think the thing is, too, that you end up throwing away things that later you wished you hadn't.
Yeah, or worse, you end up carting a bunch of stuff with you that you then, as you're unpacking it, you're like, why did I bring this? I hurt my back carrying this, whatever
stuff.
It is. And then you throw it away after you've moved it.
That's right.
That's the worst. But yes, also, it's really terrible to have to get rid of things that you then later go, oh, how did... Whatever happened to that thing? Oh, when we were moving, we were flinging things left and right into the dumpster. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And who hasn't done that?
So when Saturn goes into Sagittarius and moves through, limitations come in and things get formalized. Mm-hmm. And my thought is that when Saturn goes through this Sagittarius now and this time, stuff that's going to come up generally globally is going to be this immigration business. The problems are all around the world with immigration or people, borders being broken down. But Saturn will put them back. Will bring in limitations or structures to monitor and formalize immigration processes in America and in Europe
as
well.
Yeah, they just passed that one in the U.S. with
the
border. Yeah, that's going to go into effect next year. But that's a huge, hopefully, good thing. Not just the cracking down and whatnot that's been happening, but actually formalizing something that's positive.
There has to be a way where illegal immigrants, basically what we're talking about, even in Canada we got this problem with these foreign immigrants, where there's a structure brought in to handle the situation where these people can find their home in the country rather than just being in limbo for the rest of their lives.
You can't
so
just
these
build bigger walls and have...
Yeah, that's just, not the answer, is it? There's a way to bring them into the fold.
Yeah.
Because Sagittarius does deal with foreigners as well in foreign countries and so on.
Yeah, definitely. And the mixing of cultures and that is always a struggle, but it's...
Saturn's not particularly, good because Sagittarius is quite airy-fairy and everyone's welcome, but Saturn's nose, hang on a minute, did you fill the form in? There's going to be things brought in that will make changes to that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It might go both ways because there are all sorts of terrible things that are happening with these checkpoints that they have. For example, in Texas, they have these YouTube videos, there are just tons of them now, of people being stopped And I'm not sure if it's like a profiling kind of thing, but who, of course it is. But at the same time, they're stopping everyone at these checkpoints and they're saying, you know, whatever, you have your papers, basically. What's that remind you of? But so not only is it putting more structure on the process of immigration and forcing the people who are trying to come in to go through the paces and whatnot, but I think also it'll be putting the people who are doing the policing and doing the checkpoints and doing whatever racist harassment, etc., but maybe putting more controls on that side of it and making it a bit more of a fair process and not so Wild West and people can be harassed.
Well, it's not just the US-Mexican border. I mean, we've got the problem here in Canada, and even when we lived in Africa where the people were flooding down because there just was no work. But that they handled that differently. That was an entirely different situation. But foreigners are going to come to the fore when Saturn goes into Sagittarius, and foreign policy will be probably a sticking point. Now, this election down there is going to be happening when that Saturn's in Sagittarius, so that's definitely going to be on the ticket. Whether it's the right wing or the left wing win on that is one's not quite clear, but somehow there'll be some structure in place or steps that have to be taken, which Saturn loves having little go point one, point two, and to get to some kind of resolution for other people. And one assumes that the stronger powers are going to still be telling the little countries what to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's like UKIP in the UK, this new right-wing party that's come out wanting to stop immigration there too. So it's coming to a head.
Oh, yeah. It's always cycles of back and forth, whether there's, you know, more restriction and more conservative keep everyone out sort of thing, or,
I don't know, there's got to be. And also, I think with religion as well, that there would be some, as Saturn goes through Sagittarius, the actual religions of the world, the main ones, which are the Christians, the Hindus, and so on, will actually get, I want to say blended, but it's not going to happen. They're going to still be held separately. They're going to tighten their ranks.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
But ultimately, it will change when Saturn finally gets through to Aquarius, I think.
Yeah. Although, there's that Pope Francis, who's such a...
He probably has a following if you're in that religion, I think.
Or people are the hardcore conservatives amongst that that group, probably kind of going, wait a minute, no, that's not okay, what are you saying?
Yeah, you're softening on a lot of things. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. It'll all come to the fore, though.
Yeah, because Saturn is the planet that rules the governments as well, so... Yeah. They'll be telling you what
government,
to do,
the church,
where you can go, what
universities,
you can do.
Yeah, institutions of higher learning.
Higher learning, that's it. So, I don't know.
It'll be interesting. Some previous transits of Saturn and Sagittarius. It's an interesting comparison, maybe to go, oh, you know, there's a parallel to keep an eye on. The last one was 1985 to 88. Mm-hmm. Then before that, 1956 to 59. Mm-hmm. And before that, 1926 to 29. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking one thing that jumps right out to me is that those were periods of financial sort of extravagance preceding a big contraction. I hesitate to even say that out loud, but when you look at those 3-date ranges, doesn't that jump right out?
I think so. Yeah. Especially that 29, because 1929 always triggers us for the Great Depression. But I still recall in 1988 when...
savings and loan thing.
Yeah, the gold price, I think, finally hit the $1,000 mark. It was $800. I was still working there. And... it's the flush because it's Sagittarius before the, because what's coming up next is Capricorn.
Yeah, and that's always a contraction.
We're going to rein it in there.
I remember Pluto going into Capricorn in that very month.
Rain it
was
back. Yes.
September 2008, as everyone knows.
Big Brother will be watching you good and close then. Everything, we've got problems there, right? The wall's having
so if
ears.
You're embezzling anything, get it done within the next 2 years.
Well, no one's looking at you.
Yeah. Yep. Right. So that's Saturn.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. A bit of a shift in the in the feeling. Also, Sagittarius then is a fire sign.
Right. Coming out of Scorpio, which is a water sign and very emotional and good in lots of ways. But for Saturn, it's very much a sort of quicksand kind of slog.
Right. So that then places Saturn in Sagittarius in fire. We've got Uranus and Aries in fire. And we've got Jupiter and Leo in fire. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get this strong fire, inspirational, outgoing, hopefully.
Yeah.
Mood.
Yeah.
In 2015.
Yeah.
Especially then when the Sun, Mercury, and Venus are in those fire signs as well, you'll find it's all going to be go, 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 I think. But again, if you want to start your projects or whatever they are, open a business, do your thing, write a book, make the plan on December 21, make the decision about what you're going to be doing, and then in the new year, go for it.
Yeah.
Because now's a good time to get things going.
Yeah, definitely lots of support from the fire signs. Yeah. You have a book on Saturn.
I have a book on vocational profiling.
Oh, excellent. Well, sort of Saturn. Not Saturnian.
Racial profiling.
No, or, no.
But Saturn is generally is the 10th house ruler, so it generally rules your career.
Right.
And if you're looking at astrology, you tend to consider Saturn anyway. Yeah. And this book is by Faye Kossar. It is Using Astrology to Create a Vocational Profile, Finding the Right Career Direction. And this is a relatively new book. I think it was last year. I got it last year. And it's actually very interesting because what she's talking about is that if you can, with your chart, decide what you should be doing vocationally or career-wise, as it were, by looking at simple things such as the ascendant and the midheaven rulers and not getting into too much detail and yes, but what about this, that and the other, and keep the astrology cleaner, you can get the clearer message from your chart about what you're supposed to be doing.
Cool.
It is a medium to advanced book. It's not a beginner's book at all, but it's very well written, and it's about setting your goals and deciding exactly what it is that you want to do.
Nice. Oh, I see nice tables of...
Here she's got some good ideas about what are the positive qualities about suns in your sign and so on, and then it goes all the way through. So I'll read you some positive.
Yes,
Virgo,
excerpt,
shall
please.
I? Service-oriented.
Hmm.
Yes. And practical, eye for detail, ordered, helpful, analytical, information-oriented, fastidious, understand health and body-mind connections.
Hmm.
Those
Indeed.
Are the positive signs. So, and she's got some basic stuff. So the idea is that you choose a career that actually matches your chart so you can easily live with it.
Yeah.
It's like putting on an overcoat and it doesn't quite fit, but you'll wear it anyway.
Yeah.
And you go through life with a draft down your sleeves.
Right.
Whereas if you actually got something that is tailor-made to fit you on your arm length and your lapels and whatnot, it's tailor-made and it will fit you better. And that's what this book's about, finding a vocation or a career that fits your chart so you can live with it longer. So that's an excellent book by Faye Kossar. And she very kindly signed my copy, so
really?
That's nice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
She is a great writer. I read her blog.
There you go.
Yeah. Excellent.
So what book did you bring along?
I have, it's an oldie but a goodie, classic, Saturn in Transit, Boundaries of Mind, Body and Soul by Erin Sullivan. And
okay.
It is one of the Saturn books that I have. And
one of the many Saturn books you have?
Well, one of a couple.
Okay.
But it's the only one that is focused completely on Saturn. So,
okay.
So I thought
it's a Saturn-specific book.
Saturn-specific, exactly.
So when Saturn goes into Sagittarius, we've got some good ideas coming through from there, do
we?
So does that talk about the transiting only, or does it talk natal as well?
Natal, it talks about that, and it talks about what happens when Saturn goes into different houses in your chart. So that whole thing.
So there's a question. So what house is Saturn in your chart at the moment then?
Oh.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
It's okay.
It's just new.
Just barely. No. It's just barely. It's like literally on the cusp, like right now of the second house. So
going
really
into
going into the second house. Yeah.
So you're gonna tighten your belt even further than it's been tightened recently.
Oh my goodness.
Get a fourth job, Arwen.
Well, that would be expanding.
We're going to start taking donations
that
on the
side. That would be expanding the purse. This is tightening the belt. That perhaps one could stand. I don't know. Maybe I should, you know, rein in my consumption.
Anyhow.
This is the Virgo speaking. Maybe I should rein in my consumption. Most people probably would react differently to Saturn moving into their second house. I'm just like, well, I don't know. Maybe I could do less. I could spend less, eat less. I don't know. Yes, we're so humble. But it also talks about the, not just what I have
okay.
in my list, but the fear thing, but it talks about your tragic flaw based on where your Saturn is.
Oh, let's hear
so
it.
A bit of a different take on it.
Tragic flaws,
yes.
That's good.
So where would you like me to, read about Saturn in Capricorn?
Yes, let's hear it. Let's hear about tragic flaw.
Tragic flaw.
Flaw.
Complacency to the extent that the status quo is accepted and maintained with a change meaning loss of face. Creating barriers which make movement forward difficult, if not impossible. Worst fear, that one lacks the stamina to instigate new things and is weak by nature, which can, in extreme circumstances, result in becoming a dictator. Yes. The cure. Developing a sense of inner adventure, practicing letting go and allowing change to occur around one, and then seeing what happens.
Yeah, she's probably right.
So this is a good book. There's lots of mythology in it. It's definitely an intermediate
book.
There's not a lot of math, though, so I wouldn't say it's advanced.
Good.
That's my my standard for whether it kicks over from intermediate to advanced. Well,
all the maths you've got to do. Oh, I see.
Yeah, are there graphs and tables and all kinds of
complicated things and you don't know what's going on?
Yeah. There's not that here.
Okay.
Aspects, houses, different things.
Simple. Yeah.
But the wording is a bit more thick. So okay. I would say definitely intermediate. There's lots of mythology and there's lots of $5 words.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that though.
She's a very knowledgeable woman.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Can't go wrong. So Erin Sullivan, Saturn in Transit.
Very good. So recommended by Owen this week.
Yeah, I have actually bought this book twice. I sent it to my mother when she began her second Saturn return.
You.
I am such a Virgo, I know.
My lord, really?
Yeah, you know. I asked first. I didn't want to be like, oh, here's this sad tome about this crisis you'll be going through in the next 2 years. No, it was more like, oh, hey, I have Saturn in Transit. And she was like, oh, I don't have that. And I'm like, well, I could send it to you. You know, it was like that.
So you sent her the old one and you kept the new one?
I had the old one. It was more about immediacy than...
Well played, Owen. I know.
It was...
No, so you sent her the new one.
Anyway.
Fantastic.
We're both happy. That's what matters.
So, does she have Saturn in Sagittarius?
No, she has Saturn in Libra.
Oh, okay. So
this is a few years back now.
Okay.
Yeah.
How interesting. So do you know anyone who's got Saturn in Sagittarius who's coming up with a Saturn return?
Actually, no.
No, I don't. It's my daughter, the eldest daughter. So.
The first to have a Saturn return.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. We must hopefully, we'll see the shift as soon as it occurs. But you might not be paying attention because it's Christmas Eve, you might be at a party and this, that, and the other, and you've got a big day Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, we do in our family.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on, you may not notice the shift.
Yeah.
Like it just happened on regular
Tuesday. It's not like Uranus when it goes into another sign and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. It's a little subtler than that, generally.
We may not notice it because...
There's so much in Capricorn.
That's
offsetting
it. Exactly. And but if you've got something, or your sun or something at the first degrees of Sagittarius, you're going to feel it all over the new year period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or if you've got anything at zero Sag, I don't suppose you do have the first few degrees of Sag, do you? I've got nothing in Sagittarius.
I have Neptune. It's at 4 degrees.
Well, there you go. That'll be something to...
Neptune in the second house. We'll talk about that one day.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So there will be a tightening of the purse strings, definitely. What your thing is, when Saturn comes across your Neptune, you'll find your purse you lost 6 months ago.
Yeah, but I'll give a big reward to whoever it was that turned it in.
I knew a guy who used to put money in books and think so that he would. He used to say to me that, yes, but if I put like $10 in here, then I could be flicking through this one day. It'll be top of
books. Oh, his own books. Well, yeah, okay, there you go. That's nice too.
And then when he was broke, he would start rifling through the books and say, I know there's a 20 in there.
It would never work for me.
Who puts money in a book?
That'd be a nightmare.
It was a Virgo, I have to tell you.
Yeah, no, So what I did when I first...
Okay, shall I start ruffling now?
No, it wasn't in the books because, my God, that would be a disaster. That would be nightmarish. And also, I take my books to the used bookstore a lot when I'm weeding things out. Books are one of the first things.
This
books
is
and
used
clothes.
Bookstore?
Oh, that's the best thing you've said all
day. Okay, so anyhow.
Leo, everyone.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know there was.
There are a few. I can draw you a map, but I'm not going to, because I know you won't go there.
Anyhow,
so yes, I used to put, as soon as I got two jobs after my unfortunate bout of unemployment and eviction back in the early aughts, as they say, I started putting money in my coat pockets. Just every coat that I wore, because I have a lot of coats and jackets and things, and I have a different one for every type of weather we have, which is a lot.
Really?
Yeah, so I would just stick like $20 in like various coat pockets.
It's the same thing.
I know, it is. But books, that's silly. I mean, you can never find it. That would be a nightmare. You'd be like, I know I put it in one of the blue books. I'm going through all the blue shelves.
So you got these 20s in all your pockets?
Not so much anymore, but for a while there, because it was just such a novel thing to have... to have spare 20s, literally. Like, it was just so, wow.
And now I'm amazed that you've got all these coats. I have one coat.
Oh. Well, it's
It's a Virgo thing. It's lots of little. So you got 20.
So it might be raining. It might be snowing. Well, not here, but it might be hot, but yet misty, and you need a different kind of jacket for all those different eventualities, right?
I don't know.
She's like, I don't know, and I don't wear socks either.
I have a winter coat, and I wear it from now until the new year.
Well,
and
then I have a favorite. I have my favorite coat, but sometimes it's like not cold enough for that.
Next time you see me in the street, you know that's the coat, the one I'm wearing. That's it till it wears out, and then I get the next one.
Wow, are you hinting? Is
it... No, I'm okay, just I'm I just couldn't. Saying. What would I want?
Oh my gosh. Wow, you must have so much closet space. That's amazing. I'm constantly trying to...
You know how much space... We've got nothing, right?
Well, I just... Yeah, I've got coats doubled up. Coats wearing coats in the closet because they're so...
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, you know how small our closets are.
I do,
so we've got these racks that are freestanding in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah, we've got a shoe tree.
That's full. And, yeah. This is full. Oh, yeah. The rack at the doors. Yeah. But it's not my stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's a Libra thing.
Oh, so yeah, it must be. So you money in the poke pockets, that's something I would never do.
So you'll be like out and walking around and you're like, oh, nice, I have a 20. Or whatever.
Okay, so this has to be, what am I saying? It's a Virgo thing?
It's a Virgo thing, I think.
It's got to be that you've got little bits of money, because we're not talking thousands, we're talking about a tenner.
It would be silly to leave thousands of dollars in a coat.
Little pieces for Virgo, they're like little bits of things that all come together.
Because then you've surprised yourself, you're like... I'm at the store and, oh, what's this?
And that's what he used to say to me. Then I'll be reading this book one day and I'll come across a 20 and won't that be nice?
It will be nice.
You got that much... I never understood. It's not... And he'd use a 20 as a bookmark.
That is a little weird. But it's not all weird to just throw it into the pocket.
Pocket? No, apparently what? And you got what? Gum. I don't know what to say.
Gum, maybe. Like little packets of gum sometimes too, you know.
No, I've never got stuff in my pockets.
Huh. Weird. I don't like carrying a purse if I don't have to. So I like to have things in pockets. But if you have a lot of jackets, then that's a big thing too. Is constantly
isn't
switching
it interesting?
Stuff in,
you wonder if the Pisces keep money in their shoes.
Mm.
Or inside their boot, like they used to do with...
Yeah, like when you go to clubs and you don't have a thing and you stick money in your boot. But then, of course, it's embarrassing if you're trying to pay for something. And you're like, hold on one second. You're like reaching down into your sock. It's all wet. Yeah.
Gosh, I would never. Isn't it interesting?
Yeah, it is.
So when Saturn gets onto your Neptune, you're going to find the money you lost.
Oh my goodness.
Or you stashed away in some old coat.
Maybe.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And is it just coats or bags as well?
It's probably not so much with money, but I do leave things like. Oh my gosh. Okay, so lip liners. This is a thing. I buy lip liners at a store, and then you can't put it in the bag, in the grocery bag, because there's always little holes in the bottom of the bags, and you have, like, let's say, like a giant thing of like milk and toilet paper, and you don't want a lip liner like rolling around at the very bottom of it, because you'll probably recycle it and throw it away, or just, you know, it'll fall out into the street. So I put them in my purse, like, oh, I'll just put that in my purse, and then, you know, take the rest of the bags with me. And then I will forget that about a lip liner until, you know, months later, and I'm fishing through my purse for something, usually gum or whatever.
A 20?
No, that's the wallet. I'm very organized. It's sad. I would never have money loose in the purse. But because there's lipstick in the bottom of the purse.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
So interesting.
And then I'll find a lip liner. I'll be like, I bought that. And then, you know, 2 months have gone by.
So do you have these purses that you open it and it's like you can't lift it? It's full of stuff.
Oh, God, no.
No, I don't. No. I've got nothing in it to, like, use it.
Yeah, I mean, I use all the things that are in there. Some things are kind of contingency things, like a nail file. It's not like I go out and I constantly file my nails outside because, ew, on the street, you don't want to. But, you know, if you break a nail, then what are you going to do? You want to have a nail file available.
You're going to reach for the nearest Virgo.
Or a Band-Aid. Or...
Especially if you need a Band-Aid, you're going to reach for the... You're going to say, is there a Virgo on the subway?
I always have Band-Aids.
Do you?
Yes. It doesn't matter what coat I have. Or it's... There are Band-Aids in every purse.
So there you go. There's definitely some exploring to be done about what's in Arwen's purse. Because I can tell you, in my bags, my handbags, there's nothing in them until I actually go out the door and put my purse in them, and that's it.
Wow. Yeah.
Kind of. I don't have a bag with stuff in them. My mother used to. She'd have an umbrella and a purse and spare glasses. And
I've got a whole narrative on umbrellas that fit into a purse. Those are just...
Okay.
Yeah. We're not going to go there.
Well, there you go. There's a little insight into life in Vancouver.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. I'm sure someone in England or anywhere, Ringy, would agree. Mm-hmm. Anyone with any sense that doesn't want to get wet would agree.
No, I agree. It's just strange. It's just clearly strange to anyway.
Yeah. I mean, well,
what I'm saying is astrologically, this could be a thread, right? That little bits of money.
These are Virgo things, big time.
Put by.
And with the bag, are they flashy handbags or?
Yes.
Yeah. They're awfully nice. I would think.
No,
they're not gaudy.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No,
not flashy is not the word. They're just
leather.
Oh yeah.
You wouldn't dream of like. Yeah, no. Well, I mean, to be honest, I wouldn't necessarily either. Although I do have one that's suede. It's brown, so it goes with the things that are brown.
Oh, I don't have brown things in wardrobe.
Oh.
We were talking about that one day.
Yeah,
no,
I
just
have yellow.
I don't really do. To be honest, no, I'm not really a bag person. I come up with, you know. But, you know, it's like you see these people on this, and they've got somewhere and they've got this great knapsack full of stuff and you wonder, what the heck's in that?
Oh,
you know?
For me, it's groceries. I have a giant backpack, but it's for groceries. I don't wear it just to do stuff. Like, if I'm going to have fun somewhere, I don't bring a giant backpack. But if I'm going grocery shopping, I will.
Do you?
No,
I
don't drive,
you
know.
I have a cart with...
Oh.
Not the little old lady going down.
Oh my gosh. Well, our producer, he actually will take the cart out to do the grocery shopping. I can't do that. I don't know.
I do. I can't do a backpack. Yeah, no, yeah. I just do the cart.
I have hurt myself though. I definitely hurt one of my shoulders at one point with the backpack. I actually was so impressed with myself. I came home and it was so heavy. It was so cripplingly heavy that I actually had to get on the scale just to see how much I had carried. And I had carried 50 pounds worth of groceries.
Oh no, that's 50. Too much. Too much.
That was excessive. I think I dislocated something. Anyway.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's Saturn, I think.
That is Saturn, yeah.
I think the
back-breaking labor. That was a good thing to end on. Oh, and in Saturn in Cancer for me. That's just the shell on the back. That's great imagery. I always like to tie it back to some kind of imagery that's symbolic. Because these are things that stick in my mind anyway. These are things that...
The crab got that.
Yeah, big time. All right. That was Saturn, and next time we'll be talking about 2015.
We will. A whole new year's coming up.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought we'd ever get to 2015, and yet here we are.
This is our 32nd episode, everyone.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, and a bit of a shout out to the Mountain Astrologer. Thank you to Mary Plum for linking to us and for mentioning our podcast. We're super happy about that. Hello to anyone that came from Tang.
You're most welcome.
You can find us on Twitter and obviously on iTunes at accessastrology.com, and you can email us at accessastrology@gmail.com. Access Astrology is produced and recorded by Roger Aaron Toews. I'm Arwen O'Neill.
And I'm Alison Price.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And we'll see you next time.